Sentinel Online. Now loading the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
You're listening to Geekcast Radio on GeekcastRadio.com.
I want one.
No.
If you can make God bleed, people will cease to believe in him. There will be blood in the water. And the sharks will come. To do is sit here and watch as the world will consume you.
Our priority is to get the Iron Man weapon turned over to the United States of America.
I am Iron Man. The suit and I are one.
Contrary to popular belief, I know exactly what I'm doing.
What? What I saw you do to Tony Stark on that track?
Wow.
You need my resources.
I want to make Iron Man look like an antique.
This whole lone gunslinger act's unnecessary. You don't have to do this alone.
I hope you're ready.
Come on!
Mr. Stark displays textbook narcissism. Agreed?
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio, episode 15. I am your host, Steve Joe and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And from the Dirty Lunchroom reboot, Michael Powers. Hello.
Yeah, it's not going so well. I apologize.
Clean that cafeteria, boy.
I'm trying.
Today we are going to do a quote-unquote first look, and yes, I am stealing that name from HBO's first look, on Iron Man 2. Which just came out in theaters May 7th, 2010. Basically, why we do these first look episodes on movies that have just been released is because over on MWire, a movie we can review, it's going to take us 4 years to get to them. So that's why we're using this show. And it's actually very funny. Episode 15 of Geekcast Radio also coincides with episode 15 of MWire, which was the original Iron Man movie.
Nice.
So by the time Iron Man 3 comes out, you'll be on Iron Man 2.
Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe. If we're lucky.
If we're even still doing MWire by that time.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? Oh, boy. So how have you been, Mr. Powers?
I've been beating myself over the head trying to make my website work the right way. And I think I got it. So,
well, if you'd go through WordPress instead of Squarespace, it would have probably been a lot easier.
It's the same damn thing.
No, it's not.
WordPress?
It's just a different host. That's the only difference.
It's the same.
They still do the same functionalities.
I just don't have to install all that stuff on the back end myself.
They do all the hard work while you get to do the easier part.
The fun stuff.
Yes.
And I you know, not to plug them too much, but you know, I've been sending them emails because I've been trying to get the podcast to stream properly when apparently it's for some reason it's my computer that won't let it stream in certain browsers. So
nice.
But you know, they were really good at you know, sending them an email, and within like 10 minutes they'd have another email with a suggestion, and I'd do it and send them an email, and then they'd send me one back saying do this. But I haven't been, my other friend that has a Mac has been out of town, so I haven't been able to troubleshoot it on his computer to make sure, but whatever, that's, you know, another story. Yes. Has nothing to do with Iron Man.
Or War Machine. Well, two of us have actually gone to the theater, or well, one of us actually worked at a theater, and the other one actually went to a theater to see it, and the third person
is a dirty, dirty boy.
He's a dirty, dirty downloader is what he is.
That's kind of scary.
You will be summarily punished with sugarcane sticks.
That's not all you'll hear.
Give us some Barney, Megatron.
I'm thoroughly creeped out now.
Shut up.
They're both purple dinosaurs. Really, why can't they get along?
Hear Bonnie on this podcast.
Oh crap. So yeah, I went to go see it opening day. Originally I was going to go to the good theater. Unfortunately, I had to go to the bad theater
as opposed to the medium theater, which means nothing.
Yeah. Well, the good theater actually has seats that I can actually fit in, and the bad theater has. At first, when I first walked in, you know, they kind of updated their slope, but they kind of turned it into a little bit of stadium seating, but they kept the exact same seats. And my 350-pound ass basically was sitting on the cup holders, both of them at the same time.
Fun.
I'm sorry.
So yeah.
That's a ringing endorsement if I ever heard one.
It's called Hire You to Test Out Movie Theater Chairs.
Or just redesign the fucking theater already. Anyways, but it was the whole point of this story is that the good theater takes me two buses to get to. The bad theater takes me one, and it's a straight shot up the street. So anyways, I loved the first film. I thought the first film was very, very well done. I think it was probably the first Marvel-produced or all Marvel-taken-care-of movie now that they've started this whole Avengers initiative thing and actually creating their own continuity within their movies. And I love the first film. I think I saw the first one like twice. I think, well, like in theaters,
right?
I saw it twice. Yeah, we all know, Powers, you work at a fucking movie theater, you get free movies. Shut up.
I wasn't gonna say anything, and for the record, I actually do pay for movies still.
Liar.
No, I do.
No,
I get
it's,
I do.
It's called having pride for the movie.
Yeah, I get free movie passes, but you know, I still don't mind paying for my movies because I want the theater. I want not the theater because the theater doesn't make money off of the movie. I want the studio. I want the movie to make money.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
And then you know, ever since I you know you bring up the fact that I work at a movie theater, and I've worked at a movie theater for the last 6 years, so I can probably. You know, I've paid for a fair share, but I've also seen free movies. But at the end of the day, I kind of rate movies now. When people ask me if it's a good movie, it's like you kind of take in the cost that the cost of a movie kind of factors into what I think of a movie. And it's kind of like, yeah, I tell them I would have paid to see that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and you know it's that way it's black and white. It's like, no, I wouldn't have paid to see that movie. Don't see it. Or yes, I would have paid to see that movie. It was great. So Iron Man is definitely one of the movies I would have paid and did pay to see. So
no, I didn't. It's been so long since we talked about it on MWire because MWire is just about to go into its 42nd, 43rd episode, I think. It's been so long since we talked about it. What did you guys think of Tony revealing himself at the end of the first film?
It didn't bother me because where they're drawing, they're not taking all of the Marvel continuity stuff into account with the Marvel Studios movies. They're using their Ultimates line. And in the Ultimates line of Marvel Comics, everyone knows that Tony Stark is Iron Man. So a lot of people a lot of people leading up to the movie knew that they were going to go down the Ultimates for stuff, because in the Ultimates they actually do this weird thing where there's a couple pages where they do talk about, oh, if they did make a movie about you know, us, who would you want to play Nick Fury? And they do say Sam Jackson. And the Nick Fury in the Ultimates looks exactly like Sam Jackson. So basically when Marvel made the Ultimates, they had making movies in mind, which is why they, you know, to bring in a new audience, they did the Ultimates stories and started everything fresh without the baggage. So
right.
And they took that and then they started making that into their movies. And so a lot of people knew that's the way it was going to go, and the fact that he revealed himself at the end of it, that just solidified, yes, they're going with the Ultimates, and that made a lot of people happy.
Yeah, for me, I honestly, in the future, my money will be tied up in rent, which I haven't paid rent in 5 years, but anyway, most of my disposable income went towards DVDs, toys. It never is really, like, I've bought maybe 4 comic books in the last 10 years. It's not that I don't like comic books. I really do. It's just at the time I had other stuff I needed to buy or other stuff I wanted to buy more than comics. And really where I'm coming from as far as the films was the 1994 Iron Man cartoon, where in the cartoon, it's Spider-Woman, Julia Carpenter, and Rhodey that know who Tony is. And I was shocked all to hell at the end of the first film. It was a good show. I wasn't mad about it. I was like, oh, it was like one of those oh my God moments. Like, really?
Well, the thing is, if, like, I, you know, you gave your reasons for not collecting comic books or whatever. And I did. I collected comic books from, like, the summer of 94 up until about, I collected for about 3 years, right? And Marvel did this crossover called Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a registration act for superheroes. And so Tony Stark was on the side of, yes, we're going to register. And, you know, he registered himself and he said, yes, I am Iron Man. Peter Parker even came out as Spider-Man. And then there was, like, the other group of guys that, no, we're not going to register our names. And that was, like, Captain America. So you had good guys fighting good guys for, like, an entire summer. So even leading up to the Iron Man movie, whether, you know, it was Ultimates, whether you only read Ultimates or you read the regular 616 universe,
mm-hmm.
Iron Man, at that point in the comics, the entire world knew who he was.
Right.
What they did with the 616 universe is that they kind of, like, tried to, they weren't gonna blend the two universes together, but they kind of tried to make them similar for readers that wanted to jump to another comic book. Your stuff was back in 90, the cartoon that you're referencing is back in 94, and obviously that was back when, oh, secret identities are huge. Well, Marvel kind of got away from that before this movie even went into production. So,
yeah. Well, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that, you know, it was one of those things where, like I said, it was like, oh my God, they actually did it. And I haven't read any of the Ultimate stuff.
It's good.
Oh, I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I mean, if it is, that's great. I would love to get into it. But again, you know, people are going to have to donate the comics to me.
Well, you know, you can also go sit in a Barnes & Noble and grab a tea or a coffee and read the entire comic right there.
I hate that crap. I cannot stand that.
Oh.
If you're going to go to a bookstore to look at a book or buy a book, or if you're interested in, buy it and take it home.
Sorry,
Don't sit there for 6.5 hours reading comic books for free.
I read all of Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate Fantastic Four, Ultimate X-Men, and the Ultimates, all sitting in Barnes & Noble.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, I've never bought any. But you know what? As soon as I caught up to where the graphic novels weren't new, or, you know, up to the new stuff, I did I did haul my ass into a comic book store, and I started buying them issue by issue after that.
Yeah.
So, but I wanted to catch up. I wanted to catch up fast, and that was like the best, cheapest way to do it. And all I had to do was buy a tea. So. But
this is not a library. You don't read the magazines in the store.
I was going to say something, but I can't remember what it was exactly. Anyways, moving on.
Steve, what do you think of the secret identity reveal from the first one into this one?
Personally, I liked it just because that just kind of fit with his personality of, you know, hey, I'm cocky. This is what I do.
Yeah,
bow at my feet.
See, I agree with Steve. Even if that wasn't how it was done in the comics, I that's what I wanted to say. I like that they did the reveal because I don't know about you guys, but I was sick and tired of dealing with the superhero movie where the guy has to hide his shit.
Oh, no, I completely agree. Yeah.
I think that's what sets Iron Man apart on a whole different level. That's like the most refreshing thing. That Iron Man is the most refreshing superhero movie in the genre right now because he's out there. So that's my thought.
I mean, you know, we're all in agreement on the fact that him revealing the identity at the end of the first film was awesome. I'm not disagreeing. It's just like me coming from the cartoon. I was like, whoa, wait, what? And then, you know, after subsequent watchings on DVD, you know, I really, really enjoyed it. Who wants to give like a basic overall plot of this?
It's Iron Man 1 with a defined villain. No, I'm dead. I'm not alone in thinking this. You can listen to the brief little discussion we had on the lunchroom number 6. We talked about it just a little bit, and the consensus, you know, the three of us that saw it going around the room was, yes, Iron Man 2 is good, but it's good because it's the same movie. And they did change some things here and there, and, you know, they brought in new actors to replace old actors, and because of money problems and contractual stuff, but they also brought in new actors to replace old actors that weren't even going to be around. Like, Sam Rockwell is a straight-up replacement for Jeff Bridges' character.
Oh, no doubt.
Well, in fact, the only new character I would even begin to say is because, you know, there's a lot of that talk like, oh, there's too much going on. It's too complicated. You can't follow anything. They added too many characters. The only new character in the movie is Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Like,
Pretty much.
You can say Mickey Rourke, Whiplash if you want, but in my opinion, Mickey Rourke or Whiplash and, you know, Justin Hammer are like one. They're like the two parts of Obadiah Stane split.
Right. Yeah,
split. One's the looks and one's the brains.
Right. So that, you know, that you know, they took one character and split him into two. And then, so like the only new character really is Scarlett Johansson. And it's the same movie, except they didn't handicap the superhero at the end of the movie, which I really appreciated because it happened in Iron Man and then it happened like a month or two later in The Incredible Hulk. I was like, both of your movies ended the same exact way, fighting the same exact type of villain. I mean, come on. It was really bad.
A lot of people have complained, at least on – I visit the Earth2.net forums, and a lot of people in there on the Iron Man thread – or the Iron Man 2 thread have complained about Stark's ego coming out more in this movie. What did you guys think about that? I mean, because honestly, I mean, I noticed it, but it wasn't anything like more than what I noticed in the first film.
I believe that is what most people call character development. And it's really weird to see people complaining about it when they clamor for it so much.
Yeah.
That's my, you know, did you want the same guy from the first one that didn't, you know, without a change in personality, nothing? That, you know, I don't know. I thought it was, given that it takes place 6 months after the first one, mm-hmm. I thought that it, you know, everything that happened is his persona had gone to a level where it should have been, considering he is now like the shit. Like in the first one, he's the super rich, super smart guy, mm-hmm. right? And with all the money and all the tech. And this one, now he's like, I am the fucking protector of the United States. You have to have an ego, and you have to be able to portray that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, that's my opinion. I thought it was fine. I thought it was funny. Yeah.
No, that's fine. I gotta talk about from Terrence Howard to Don Cheadle. Now,
love Don Cheadle more.
Huh?
I love Don Cheadle more than Terrence Howard.
All right, no, wait a minute. Before I even saw any footage of Cheadle, I was just assuming going off the first film when Terrence said next time, baby, that it was going to be him in this one, and fine if they had a falling out, or fine if it was a money issue, fine, whatever. But I'm sorry, when I heard Don Cheadle was going to be Rhodey / War Machine, I was like, no.
Really?
You got to be fucking kidding me. You're going to have the guy that did Hotel Rwanda do this? I mean, give me a break. I know the guy can act. He's a good – I'm not saying he's a bad actor at all. It's just when I first heard it, when I first saw the rumors about and then the confirmation that he was going to be Rhodey / War Machine, I'm like, no.
See, I've seen Hotel Rwanda, but when I think Don Cheadle, the thing that comes to my mind is the Ocean's movies. I don't think Hotel Rwanda.
No, I think the Ocean's movies as well.
The two things that come to my mind is Family Man and Out of Sight, but that's just me. But anyway, I just don't – at first I just could not see him as that role. And one of the reasons it goes back to me loving the Iron Man 94 cartoon because of the way – I forget who – I think it was Dorian Harewood who voiced Rhodey / War Machine in that. He was more vocal. And I know it's two different actors, two different performances, but now that I've seen the movie and I've seen him in both roles, I really enjoy it. I really like him in it. He did a very, very good job pulling off the Rhodey / Tony, you know, relationship between the two of them. And honestly, if you take out Whiplash and you take out Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow, and you just leave in Justin Hammer and the clones, this is pretty much the Armor Wars two-part episode of the 94 cartoon series, because he has to get his tech back that was stolen.
I never saw that show, so.
Well, I'll find it on YouTube and link it to you so you can watch it. But
well, when I watch Iron Man, in my opinion, Terrence Howard is the weakest part of that movie. I think the guy is a good actor. Okay. But when I think of a guy in the military, I imagine a guy whose testicles have actually dropped a couple centimeters. And Terrence Howard has a very whiny voice. It doesn't work for me. That and this is just me. The guy has a very round face, and I didn't see him fitting in the helmet that Tony Stark had designed for the Iron Man armor, whereas mm-hmm. Don Cheadle's face does. Plus Don Cheadle, his voice carries. He has more weight. He has a more commanding voice than Terrence Howard.
Don't get me wrong. It's like I said.
I know you said you liked it. I'm saying that I liked it even from when they announced it, because I didn't like Terrence Howard in the role at all. So, What'd you think,
no,
Steve?
I have two different views on this. And on the one hand, if you're going to, you know, go back as far as the Iron Man cartoon, then Terrence Howard has more of the look of the roadie off there. However, he was, I don't know, he was one of the forgettable characters in that movie. Whereas in this one, Cheadle is kind of a scene stealer.
But do you think that's because it's the second one and it's like now he's War Machine, and the first one he was just a guy?
Well, I think it's partially it's War Machine, and then partially he's been he's been put into a situation where he has to act regardless of what direction. He just has to pick a direction to go because everybody on all sides are getting pissed at him for various things he's going to do or not do.
You know, I really like the scene, the first scene he's in. I like it's the dialogue that they chose is a subtle nod to the fact that it is a new actor. It's like, it's me, I'm here, deal with it. Like,
yeah,
I you know, that brought a smile to my face. It's like they didn't just take a guy and just have him go cold turkey into the role. There was a bit of an exchange between the two actors, and it was like, yeah, it's me. And
I completely agree as far as that goes. And like I said, this is more in Iron Man 2. This is more of what I remember of the bickering between the two of them back in the cartoon. And I'm constantly going to draw back to the cartoon because that's my main Iron Man knowledge as far as, you know, comics, cartoons, whatever. You know, and I agree. Cheadle does very well, and it's better than I thought I was going to be.
Did anyone else think Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
Yeah.
When they were punching each other in front of the fireplace?
Yep.
I was waiting for a helmet.
I wish you could do that.
I was waiting for a helmet to fly off.
or some metal teeth.
I love it when Rhodey goes to Pepper, you know, you got to stop this. And she can't stop it, obviously. And he goes downstairs. And we don't see, that's the thing, though. We don't actually see him suit up. We see him kind of suiting up. And then, of course, which is the bit, you know, it's the whole thing, you know, hiding the reveal. You know, you come upstairs and he's got the faceplate up and he's like, I'm only going to say this once. Get out. And then the two of them just go to town. And I love that. That was so cool.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, he did have a pretty commanding role in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if that had been the other guy, it would just have been a minute.
Everybody get out.
it would have been a laughable scene.
I mean, and it was kind of funny, too, because it's like everyone turns to look at him. He's like, oh. It was a funny scene to me anyway. It's just because the look on his face when everyone turned around, he's like, oh, I probably look a little weird in this suit. That's just me.
I wonder if Robert Downey Jr. actually whizzed in the suit.
I'm going to say no, but I don't know.
He said something about there's a filtration system on it, so I don't know.
I don't think there's a filtration suit on the actual suit he's wearing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was a comical joke, and that's fine. Mickey Rourke was really good as Whiplash. I don't know that much about Whiplash to really comment on. It was all right. It was basically your just average revenge story. Justin Hammer is a whiny bitch.
Oh, yeah. He's a kiss-ass is what he is to get what he wants.
That whole fucking dancing scene at the Stark Expo, I wanted to fucking cut his nuts off. I could not stand that guy. And the difference now, you know, Michael, you can comment on the comics if you want. The difference for me with Hammer in this and Hammer in the cartoon, Hammer is a much older man in the cartoon. He's more of, say, if Howard Stark actually lived and aged, type of age deal. But even in the cartoon, he bends to Mandarin's will.
I'm going to be completely honest here. I take my Iron Man and my Captain America and basically anybody else as part of the Avengers the way I take my Superman, which is only as part of the Justice League. Because I find each of those individual heroes to be rather boring in and of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they work really well together in a group. That being said, I don't know that much about Iron Man by himself. I have read Ultimate Iron Man, and I have read all of the Ultimates. And to my recollection, Justin Hammer isn't in those. And Obadiah Stane in those is a competitor of his father. They were like competing,
right?
Like,
yes.
Like Obadiah Stane in the Ultimates is Justin Hammer,
right?
And not doesn't work for Tony Stark. He works against Tony Stark, and he was actually actually responsible for Tony's dad's death.
Mm-hmm.
That in and of itself, and then you go into the weird thing about Tony Stark's entire body being a giant brain. But you know, we're not going to get into that because that's weird for me to even try and explain. Moving on.
Yes. I really could care less about the Pepper Potts character. I don't like her whatsoever.
Well, I like the witty banter that went between her and Tony throughout the movie, though.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it wasn't exactly needed, but it kind of gave you a little bit more into Tony's persona.
Do you have a problem with the actress or the character?
The character. I don't like... Gwyneth Paltrow is a great actress, but just... I don't like the character at all.
Was she not in the cartoon?
It was...
No, she was.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah, she was.
No, she wasn't.
Uh-oh.
The female in the cartoon was Julia Carpenter, who is Spider-Woman. Who was voiced by Jennifer Hale.
Oh, we thought Steve hung up on you.
Well. Are you there?
Yes.
No, she wasn't. The female in the cartoon was Julia Carpenter, a.k.a. Spider-Woman. Pepper Potts is nowhere in the 94 cartoon series. And silence.
I'm waiting for Steve to... agree.
Well, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for Darth Vader to shut the hell up and Steve to actually talk.
You know what? You can go blow yourself.
Whoa. And there's the explicit tag, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go
I'll
on.
I'll be here all night.
No, we won't. Let's go on to Scarlett Johansson as Natalie Rushman / Natasha Romanoff. I guess she can't pull off a Russian accent.
Well, okay.
Well, no shit.
Here's the thing. She said very early on that she wasn't going to do the Russian accent, and you had a lot of people that were very angry about this, right? And myself, I don't really care because it's Carly Johansson. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing, and this was probably, this came from the internet, and I was kind of amazed that something like this came out of the internet, but it does happen. Someone said, she's a spy, so why would she run around with a Russian accent?
That'd be true.
So I was like, okay, not that I cared before, but now I really don't care.
Exactly.
Apparently, Johansson was cast after scheduling conflicts forced Emily Blunt to drop out of the part. Who the hell is Emily Blunt?
She was in Sherlock Holmes.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh. She's...
It was a good movie.
Yeah, except they made Emily Blunt look absolutely hideous.
Yeah,
and every, they did. I don't know how they managed to do that, but they did.
Yeah.
But see, I don't have a lot of people have a problem with Scarlett Johansson. I don't. So
I don't either.
And that's not just because of her looks. I like her acting. I don't think she's that bad. And my friend and I, we were having a conversation because a lot of people I know don't like her. And he said, well, I'll see your Scarlett Johansson and I'll raise you a Renee Zellweger. So kind of have to agree there, given the fact that I haven't seen Renee Zellweger in anything worth watching except for Jerry Maguire.
Mm.
Pretty much. No. I like when Tony was being interrogated at the beginning by the Senate, and they start showing him something, and he pulls out
something.
His little portable. Well, I didn't see very well. Considering
it was his cell phone. Like,
it's a piece of glass is what it amounted to.
Well, and he was using his little digital, you know, portable Jarvis and patching in video. And they got all pissed off at him.
That part, actually, because I don't know how many times you watched it, Steve, but I've been able to observe I've observed the movie twice now. And I thought it was funny that he's sitting in that courtroom and he whips out this fancy piece of glass, you know, and he hijacks their stuff. And then when he's sitting there and he's watching like the reels of his dad, he's got some like Dell Axiom Winmo stylus thingy. I'm like, wait, you just had Jarvis make a complete model scan and you had this piece of glass that could, you know, hijack, you know, TVs and satellites at the same time. And you're using that? It's just like,
he likes antiques.
I was just like, oh, hey, okay. Did, I don't want to steal away from you, Mike, but did anyone, what'd you guys think of the, I'm not talking about the end. I'm not going to talk. I don't want, you know, not the end credit thing, but the,
yeah, we'll talk about that last.
Right. But the other nod to the other Marvel movie that's coming up. What did you guys think of that?
Oh, yeah, The Shield.
Because that was in the first one, too.
Yeah, that was kind of funny, using The Shield to prop up the thing.
Well,
he's like, oh, yeah, this will work.
See, the first time I saw it, I was like, that's a missed opportunity. And the second time I saw it, I realized what it actually was. It's a clock. And, you know, the different parts, that's why it looks like it's all stripped down, because different parts of it are like the spinny parts. But I thought it was a missed opportunity the first time I saw it, because like, I thought it was the shield and I thought it was stripped down. And I thought he was going to take the metal out of it and use it to make his new chess piece.
Mm-hmm.
Cause the guy pulls it out of the crate and I'm like, oh, so it's something he got from Shield and he's going to use it to make, you know, his new power source. And that's not what it was. I thought it was a very missed opportunity. Not to mention the fact that we just had Avatar like what, 3, 4, or 5 months ago now. And they actually made unobtainium, but they can't tell you what Tony Stark invented.
I think it was, oh man, it's on the Earth 2 forums, and I'm not going to look it up. I think it was...
They call it the new element.
Yeah, but there was people that were debating on what the actual name is. I mean, obviously Fox... I don't know how Fox can own the name Adamantium, but apparently Fox Studios owns that, so they couldn't use that name. I think it was like Vibranium or something.
See, that's the shield is made out of Vibranium. Vibranium. Okay. That's why I thought that he was going to strip it and use the because he's like, you know, it can't be synthesized, but he knew of a source where it was, and I was like, oh, he's going to take it out of the shield, but he doesn't. Or if he did, if I'm completely wrong, they didn't show it. And I just kind of thought that was a complete missed opportunity. So not even for Marvel not to slap some name on it was kind of weird for me.
Yeah, I still don't get, like, I love the joke that he makes after he like does the whole model thing, like he expands it, gets rid of it and blows it up, and then he goes, he wheels around his chair and he goes, after 20 years he's still taking me to school, talking about his dad. I love that joke. I still don't get what the hell he saw when he expanded the thing and then compacted it down.
It's the element. It's what he had to make.
Right, but how the hell can you? But it still made no sense to me. They didn't actually say what he saw in expanding that.
Right, because
we're dumb, and he has a very high IQ, so it doesn't really matter what we think on it.
That also goes back to, it's a comic book, and it also goes back to, they didn't tell us what he made. So I have a feeling that a lot of what you were feeling in that scene is the letdown of not knowing what he actually made. Like, we don't, because he knows what he made and he's excited mm-hmm. about it. We don't know what he made, so we don't know why to be excited about it.
Right. I guess we should talk about some of the cameo roles. Well, before we get to that, let's talk about Mr. Jackson as Nick Fury.
That scene was priceless.
Which one?
The scene in the both scenes with Nick Fury, because they're just like the one where they're in the cafe, and then the other one where they're at his apartment and or his house, and it's all torn to hell.
Yeah,
I like. Well, I like the part at the beginning when he tells Tony to get off the donut.
Yeah.
And then they go inside the diner.
Well, I like those three scenes. Does that work, Steve?
Yeah. That meets my approval.
Okay.
Yeah, if you don't get anything right on this show, we drop your sponsorship.
I wasn't aware I was being sponsored. I haven't received any funding.
Speak for yourself. Yes, I haven't either.
Now, I see Nick Fury to me is. I mainly know him from the Spider-Man cartoon. I know he was in the Iron Man cartoon as well.
Do you know him as David Hasselhoff?
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty much so. As far as a live-action version of Nick Fury, that's the only one I've seen is the Hasselhoff version. While I think Sam Jackson did an awesome job with this, I don't have anything against it. I can't wait to see more of him, but... Still, to me, Nick Fury will always be David Hasselhoff.
I guess that's your only connection.
Basis.
Yeah, basis. Yeah.
As far as some of the bit parts, and not really bit parts at first, but obviously Favreau reprises his role as Happy Hogan, Tony Stark's bodyguard and chauffeur. John Slattery appears as Howard Stark, Tony's father. Carrie Shandling appears as Senator Stern. You know, really, honestly, Gary Shandling, really? Come on, you could have had Howard in there as Senator Stern. Howard Stern as Senator Stern?
Oh, whatever.
Come on.
No.
No, we don't need that kind of garbage in the film.
No, I know that. I was making a Stern joke. Because his name is Howard Stern and the character's name is Senator Stern.
It didn't land with the two people that you're talking to.
Yeah, it's because you're no comedy. The Gary Shandling thing was funny. I don't know. Whatever.
The Stan Lee cameo was really fast.
Yeah, you blink and you miss that. Just like the Olivia Munn thing, you blink and you miss her. Which
where is that at?
She was, I believe, the
she was one of the reporters. She appears
at the very beginning.
No, not the well at the party when they're going through talking to the reporters. It's like right before the Stan Lee cameo.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like as soon as Tony and Happy walk through the doors. She's like right there on the right for like a split second.
Okay. I wasn't looking for the only cameo I look for in Marvel movies is
Stan.
Yeah.
I think the best one he's done so far is when he killed by the contaminated juice in Incredible Hulk.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if your listeners know this or if you guys know this, but I kind of want to point this out. If you're interested at all in putting together their little like after credit stuff and the continuity of their movies, it goes Iron Man, Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk. I don't know if anyone actually knows that, but that's what it is, because in if you remember at the end of The Incredible Hulk, it's Tony that comes and he's playing the role of the consultant.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So if anyone watched Iron Man and then they see The Incredible Hulk right after and they're like, wait, he didn't want to join. That makes, if you watch Iron Man 2, that scene makes way more sense. And if you realize they're also using Stark tech heavily in The Incredible Hulk, that's because he's now helping them. So,
right. Yeah.
So cool. There you go. Everyone's a little bit wiser as to what the hell Marvel's doing. outside of making their next three movies in 3D.
No. Yeah. No, just say no to 3D.
Exactly. Pound sign.
Yes.
Damn it.
I can see animated films, but live action, no.
Well, Thor will probably be upconverted, and since Captain America, the Avengers, and Iron Man 3 haven't started shooting, they will be shot with 3D cameras.
Way to ruin a movie.
Damn it.
You know what I really liked that I picked up on it because, you know, I pay attention to this stuff on a daily basis. And it took me a minute to realize what I was listening to, but when it's the same scene when the Shield shows up and Coulson is telling him he's got to go. He tells him he's going to New Mexico. I immediately knew what the after the credit thing was going to be because that is where Thor is being shot.
Yeah.
So I as soon as that hit, I was like, oh, well, now I know what's coming later.
Yeah, we're going to wait to talk about it.
No, I know. I just wanted to talk about that scene.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking down here through the little script thing that I have here about the soundtrack and the music for the film. The soundtrack album features AC/DC. It was released by Columbia Records on April 19th, 2010. There are at least three different versions of it. And you know, it's funny. For the first film, they released more of a soundtrack score in one, whereas this one, they're releasing a soundtrack then a score. The original score for the film was composed by John Dabney, Tom Morello, who previously worked with Ramjin Djawadi on the first movie, returned to work with Dabney on the sequel. According to composer John Dabney, the score album will be released on July 7th. Why the hell the wait? That makes no sense to me.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Makes no damn sense. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about for this movie? There is a video game. I don't know how good it is or how bad it is.
It sucks.
Well, it's made by...
I know the first game sucked because no matter how hard you tried, you couldn't die.
I'm going to tell you right now. There are two ways that you know this movie sucks. One, it's a movie promotion game. Two, it's made by Sega.
Yeah, true.
It's made by Sega now. You can defend Sega, early Sega, till you're blue in the face. I'm still going to tell you the system sucks. But everybody is in agreement that Sega has no fucking clue what they're doing right now.
Yeah. Well, ever since they got out of consoles, they kind of suck. So
that's they kind of lost their way.
That's a 10-year
stint. They've even gone back to the old school Sonic.
Yeah. I guess we can talk about the end credit scenes before we head into sequel talk or threequel talk or whatever the hell you want to call it. The end credit scene, the first thing I had in my head was, hey kids, it's hammer time.
No.
Okay.
But that end credit scene, it was just like, to me, it was so quick. It's like, wow.
Well, me, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Is it like, I'm wondering how, if like at the end of Thor, he gets his ass kicked and he falls to the, you know, in the ground and makes a crater, or if it was some kind of like archaeological dig, or if it was like some hippie convention or something. Because the Thor that I know two different Thors. Okay. I know, like, old school Thor, which is the scrawny guy that picks the hammer up and becomes Fabio.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most basic Thor that I know. And then there's the Ultimate Thor, which is the cool one where Thor is just a nutcase. It's some it turns out that he is actually a god, but like in the first two graphic novels, he is a hippie extremist that stole Stark Tech and thinks he's the son of Odin. So, and they end up locking him up and throwing him in a cell in Ultimate's headquarters, you know, along with the Incredible Hulk and stuff like that. But, that version, the complete wacko, the guy that, you know, just thinks he's, you know, whatever, that I like that one. I'm wondering if like I wonder if it is in fact an impact crater that we saw. And the guy will have no recollection of who he is. Like, I'm wondering how it's gonna play out, really.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm wondering how the end credit sequence for Thor and Captain America are gonna play out, because we're getting two Marvel movies next year. We're getting Thor and the First Avenger, Captain America.
Well, actually, it's Captain America, the First Avenger.
Whatever.
They swapped it.
And then obviously 2012 we'll get The Avengers
by Joss Whedon, which won't make any sense for the first 2.5 hours.
As far as sequels to Iron Man 2, Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige said that he is happy with the results of Iron Man 2 and predicted that Iron Man 3 will be in theaters by 2013. We do have a contract with Robert Downey Jr. to do it, and it will come after The Avengers, Feige said. Jon Favreau said that although the character would need reworking, the Mandarin would be in the third film.
Did anyone see the Ten Rings reference in Iron Man 2?
I saw the Ten Rings reference in Iron Man 1.
Right. Apparently it's in Iron Man 2 as well. I did not see it or hear it.
I didn't see it either.
Come on, Steve. Watch it really fast, you dirty fool.
I didn't notice anything about that.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Shortly.
If you know, send us an email or call the voicemail line.
Yes. If the voicemail line is still active by the time this episode goes up. Apparently, shortly after the release of Iron Man 2, however, a conflict between Paramount Pictures, which has distribution rights to certain Marvel properties, and the Walt Disney Company, Marvel Comics Parent Corporation, clouded the timing and the distribution arrangement of possible third film.
Well, I think the article that you read just is new to me, but I think the Disney agreed to honor existing distribution deals.
Yeah.
And I don't think that included Iron Man 3. So it's like, yes, Paramount can distribute Thor and Captain America and the Avengers, and then it transfers over to Disney for distribution.
Well, see, that's going to kind of suck, because...
Why do you think that?
Well, alright, I'm basically going off of all their animated stuff that's on DVD. Disney
animated has nothing to do with live action. Look at the Pirates films. Look at the Prince of Persia.
How many special features are on those?
Doesn't matter.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, because Jon Favreau said that I watched the Iron Man 2 press conference that they did before the film was even released. And he said there's going to be a ton of bonus features. However, with Disney in animation and some live action stuff, there's barely any bonus features on Disney DVDs. Disney cartoon DVDs hardly had none.
Well,
I have.
Are we talking straight to DVD stuff, or are we talking like feature movies being brought to DVD with no special features?
I'm talking about classic cartoons like Darkwing Duck, DuckTales.
You're asking
stuff like that that are brought to DVD with no special features whatsoever.
Okay, you have to look at when is Darkwing Duck even on DVD right now?
Yeah, the first two volumes are.
Well, when did they hit?
About 4 years ago.
Well, the thing is, Darkwing Duck was like a '90s cartoon. How many '90s cartoon shows do you know that are on DVD that have a huge assortment of special features? I mean, I'm sure they didn't have somebody walking around doing interviews and behind the scenes stuff, capturing things. Oh, eventually there's going to be this crazy media that we can put all this stuff on.
You know, right. But I'm just saying, well, like a lot of DVDs now go back.
Besides the point,
I don't know how Disney's going to handle the distribution. I hope they don't.
It's going to be
shit can us on special features for this.
I don't think it'll be any different, considering it's the studio, it's Marvel that is making these movies, not Disney.
True.
It's no different than Pixar making a movie or Jerry Bruckheimer making a movie. It's, you know, Disney, you know, they get to put their castle. You'll just see a castle instead of a mountain, but everything's going to be the same.
Yeah.
They might even be better because Disney has more money than Paramount.
That is true.
Final thoughts on Iron Man 2. Steve, why don't you go first?
Although I have not seen it in theater yet, judging from what I've already seen and some of the things I've missed and heard of, and my plan is I just don't have time right now to see the movie, but I still plan to go see it in theater at least once.
I can give you passes.
I would definitely say this is some. What's that?
I can give you passes.
But it has more to do with time. But yeah, I would have to say this movie was really good. Even with some of the cast changes and some of the characters tossed in there and various plot lines running together, it was still a good film. I definitely would recommend seeing this, especially if you're a fan of Iron Man or anything Marvel.
And if you want a really, really cool War Machine toy, get the Mighty Mug. It's very, very cool.
I'd rather have the figure, though.
No, the figure doesn't do it justice, I don't think.
I had the figure back in the 90s when you could take all the armor off. That thing was fucking sweet.
Alright, so I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us here on Geekcast Radio. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com. Join the forums predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. You can also leave feedback for the lunchroom as well. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Geekcast Radio. Mine is TFG and Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
And Michael?
BoothNinja81 and The Lunchroom.
All right. You can become a fan of both of our podcasting network thingies. Search us for Geekcast Radio Network. And what are you guys under The Lunchroom?
No, it's The Lunch Table on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Because we can't change the name because Facebook is dumb.
Oh, well, you can just delete that page and create a new one.
Yeah, but then we have to send out invites and we end up looking like we're spamming people.
Oh.
I don't want to be that guy on Facebook.
For a limited time, you can call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We are currently accepting all donations. We are trying to raise $65 to continue to be able to bring you interviews and for you to be able to call into the voicemail line. So please donate. Go to the website geekcastradio.com. There is a donate button on the right-hand side of the page. Click it and give us money.
We should have a telethon.
Oh. There's no telethon. Be sure to check out our UK affiliate blogomatic3000.com. They have a lot of good articles. Actually, Phil Wheat, the owner of that, wrote a very, very good Iron Man 2 review. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Geekcast Radio and wish you'll join us next time. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips
and BoothNinja81.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.